Rothschild back with you here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Network across Wisconsin. I'm here for the next few minutes with Milwaukee County Supervisor Caroline Gomez-Tom. Thanks for hanging around after the break, Caroline. And I wanted to ask you just what your general reaction has been to some of the hideous anti-immigrant rhetoric that Donald Trump seems to spew out at every public rally he holds.
Yeah, the thing is that he is telling the people who he is every chance he has. He started his first campaign saying that immigrants from Mexico were rapists and killers, and he has not stopped that horrible, untrue, really destructive language. And the thing is like, I could see that from a mile away, and yet there's people that still support him, even though they're friends with people. We have an immigrant story as the backbone of our country, and yet, you know, this is the America that he's trying to create.
Yeah, how do you talk to people who you might know are Trump supporters, given all of that?
Well, I just try to talk from my own truth and my background. I share really the world that I want to see. And typically, it's actually very similar to what people who are supporters of him want to see, but without the rhetoric, without the garbage that he's spewing. And I think when they get to the bones of staying safe and, you know, having access to resources and wanting to be able to thrive, that's the same thing that my family wanted for me, which is why they made the trip, you know, why they decided to come from Mexico here, because there was more opportunities at the time. And I think a lot of people who are immigrants, it's not a choice that is easily made to leave your homeland, to leave a country that you know, and in most cases love. So to be able to make that choice, that means there has to be very deep, unfortunate circumstances, whether it's access to jobs, whether it's violence, whether it's discrimination based on who you are, war, famine, you know, the list goes on. And yet that's the reality that so many people who flee and come to our country are fleeing from. And you know, it was no different. Like with my parents, they made a decision to start a life here, and it's because there were jobs. That was why my dad came up here in the late 60s.
And it's the essence of the American dream. It's right there on the Statue of Liberty. I mean, it's so bizarre that this ideal of this country has been turned on its head, and that immigrants have just been scapegoated in the worst kind of way. I'm not prepared to say that every Trump supporter in Wisconsin, because it's about 50% of the state, is racist. But I do think the racist appeal does resonate with a fraction of those. And I think the other fraction is the fraction I want to talk to and try to convince not to vote for Trump, because I don't think we can survive as a democracy or as a decent society, to the extent that it's decent, with another 4 years of Donald Trump. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's so frustrating, because if we're really talking about what we all want, I think there's been this dichotomy of, oh, well, if I have what I need, but you need something else, then you're going to take it away from me. And that's been this way to keep things divisive. But the thing is that, and I, you know, equity has been a big word that now people are trying to villainize. And the way I look at equity is not this idea of taking away to give to others, but rather it's having what you need to thrive. And that means what you may need and what I may need may look different, but if we work together to make sure that what we have is efficient or sufficient, then we'll actually be a a stronger world for it. And I think, it's reframing or reteaching or relearning what we mean by equity, because it's actually very similar when you're looking at like the low income zip codes of Milwaukee to the rural zip codes in other parts of Wisconsin. A lot of the things that we need or the reasonings why we need it are very similar. And if we're working together rather than against one another, then we can actually make those changes and make sure those people have those resources.
Yeah, and the commonalities are so much greater than the differences. I'm speaking with Milwaukee County Supervisor Caroline Gomez-Tom, who's running for re-election. And good luck on your race, by the way.
Thank you.
Tell me how you reacted to the revelation that Bob Spindell, one of the commissioners at the Elections Commission, had sent out in his capacity as a Republican operative, had sent out an email congratulating Republicans for diminishing the turnout among Blacks and Latinos, especially in the Milwaukee area. He was bragging about that, of course.
No, yeah, and I can't highlight how much that idea is just infuriating when you're thinking of really suppressing the vote of people of color. So I live in a district, whether you're looking at my county supervisory district or the state assembly district that I'm in, it's one of the lowest voter turnout districts in the entire state, if not the lowest voter turnout district. And my district is 60% Latine. And you have all of these mixed status families that can, like, they have at least one person in their household that can vote, but, you know, there's barriers to it, whether it's language access, as I mentioned, whether it's, the fact that a lot of these folks, as I mentioned when we were talking about COVID, are essential workers, so they're working 2 to 3 jobs, so the ability to go to the polls, even just understanding the process, because maybe some of them are new Americans. And I think a lot of times, not having the resources at all, but then also having people that are literally trying to make more obstacles for you to vote. For example, like when the voter ID was put in place, you know, years ago under the Walker administration, like you saw those additional challenges to people actually getting out and making their voice heard. And so what happens? People become less engaged. And so then it's harder to, you know, make those even little improvements. And so that's what I have up against me in my district. I want my community to know that their voice is important. And so that's what I've spent my time these last 10 months doing.
Supervisor Gomez-Tom, how would you address this problem of voter turnout? How do you increase voter turnout in this district that has such low voter turnout? What needs to be done?
Well, a lot of trust has to be regained. And so that's one of the things that I've made a point to do. You'll hear from even some of my colleagues or some of the folks in the community, they'll say, oh, Caroline, you're at everything. And it's because I'm trying to earn the trust of my community, whether it's at an event that they're hosting, whether it's inviting them to some events that the county is hosting, whether it's, bringing groups together to talk about really politics and politician 101, like who are your elected officials, who makes these types of decisions. If you have this issue in your community, then who do you reach out to? Knowing your people. We actually had this wonderful event with the Líderes por la Salud, so Leaders for Health. They meet at parks and they have a walking and biking club over the summer, and it's all about trying to make a community well through exercise, but also like what the green space in the area. And we had a panel where they invited me to come and talk about some of these like local elected 101 type information, questions, et cetera. But then I invited all of the Latine electeds from the near south side. So Alderman Perez, Alderman Zamaripa, County Board Supervisor Juan Miguel Martinez. They had Chela Garcia from the Milwaukee Public School District Board. And so we had them all answering these questions to this larger group of community members. And then at the very end, we said, and this isn't our last conversation. Look at all of us. Like, this is us serving you. You are our bosses. And so we want to keep this community going. And so it takes all of us doing our part. So we need to know when, like, you know, there's a pothole. We need to know when, you know, something's going on at the park or, you know, what have you. And it takes that village approach, right? It takes all of us to make it work. And when that trust is regained, then people are more likely to go out and vote. All of my materials are both English and Spanish. So, I do that intentionally for that reason.
And so what you're implying is that the trust was broken before by officials who weren't responsive to the community. Am I reading you right on that?
Yes, but I would also just say that our history has a lot of unfortunate occurrences that little by little broke a lot of trust, especially for communities of color. And so one of those things is addressing those events, but also figuring out to work with the community how to make things better moving forward. And that takes a lot of work, but the first step is actually like acknowledging that exists.
And when you're talking to community members, what's the biggest issue or one of the biggest issues they're facing?
Well, there's so many. I tend to say if we could eliminate poverty, then we'd actually know what our problems are. But I would say, at least in these recent months, one of the things that has kept me up at night has been access to affordable housing and maintaining people's housing situations. And so that's one of the things that I plan to work on dutifully in my next term, if I am granted one.
And how could the listener contact you or find more information about you?
CarolineCaresMKE.com.
CarolineCaresMKE.com.
Because I care.
All right. Sounds great. It's been a pleasure having you on the Maggie Dawn Show, and I wish you all the luck. I'll be back in a second. Stay with me.
Back to the Maggie Dawn Show with someone who is not Maggie Dawn. It's our dear friend Matt Rothschild. I'm just jumping out ahead of this segment to let you know that our Ride into Spring Text to Win event is still going on. And if you'd like to text in and win your chance, or text in for your chance to win a trip to Chula Vista, the word of the hour is SCORE. S-C-O-R-E. Score, text that into us, and you enter for a chance this hour to win a trip to Chula Vista. Not only that, to be entered to win a bike, a blender, and some patio furniture. It's an excellent set of gifts. It's an excellent set of rewards one could win. And what better reward than hearing more from our dear friend, Matt. Matt, over to you.
Oh, thanks, Anya. Terrific job engineering and helping hold my hand here through this session. It's been a pleasure to be invited to sub in here for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maggie's doing a terrific job and is on a vacation that she surely deserves after all the work she's done for Milwaukee and on the Civic Media Network. She'll be back on Monday. And Jim Santel will be pitch hitting for her tomorrow. So I'm just being joined here by another candidate for Milwaukee County Supervisor, Jack Ekblad. Good afternoon, Jack. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Tell me and tell our audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, I really appreciate the chance to be here today. A little bit about me. I'm a third-generation public servant. Take after my grandparents and my parents. I myself am a progressive Democratic organizer. I actually worked 6 campaigns in 3 years. But the places I worked as a progressive Democrat were either deeply purple, mixed between Republicans and Democrats, or frankly, deeply Republican. My first campaign was in West Bend, where we built the first public school in 40 years.
And how'd you get that done with the demographics that exist there?
Well, you know, first of all, we were really honest about who we were and what our values were. And we built a coalition of folks who, to be perfectly honest, could transparently disagree with one another about, and at that time, a whole host of things. But when you can transparently, respectfully disagree with someone, it builds trust. And we used the trust that that built to go work together on the things that we agreed on, in that case, build a school, build Badger Middle School.
And so you're running for Milwaukee County Board from the 4th District. That's Bayview, is that right? What is that district?
So the 4th District is a really unique piece of political real estate. We have the largest port in the state of Wisconsin, Milwaukee Port, Port of Milwaukee. We also have the largest airport, Mitchell International. And then in between, we have 53,000 voters who I'm really proud to say vote way more often than usual. So it's a significant portion of the state of Wisconsin.
And why are you running right now?
That's a great question. I have never run for public office before. I've never really had the desire, but right now, the county of Milwaukee, I deeply believe, is at an inflection point. We have a generational opportunity to, frankly, leave Milwaukee County better than we found it. We have leaders in place in the mayor's office, the county executive, and the chairwoman of the board who made some hard decisions to pass a sales tax that really gives us this chance to put Milwaukee on a firmer footing for the future.
Sales tax is weird, isn't it, though? Because it's a regressive tax.
Oh, without a doubt. And I don't think anyone would say it was an easy choice. Once it got to the county, though, it was the only choice. If we didn't pass it, we were gutting tens of millions of dollars from the bus system, from our county parks. And the great news is we bought ourselves some room to now address those structural issues of the county. But just as we had this opportunity to do really good, we also run the risk of throwing it away if we don't stay laser focused on what it is that county government is supposed to do, which is deliver services equitably.
And I see on your website, you had mentioned parks. Parks is a very important thing, according to your website. Why is that such a priority for you?
Well, parks are our inheritance and our legacy. The Milwaukee County parks are crown jewels nationwide. And frankly, parks and also public transit, you'll see pretty prominently on my website. The reason is because those two things make up two of the core foundation stones of the quality of life in Milwaukee County. When we talk about equity, racial and economic, when we talk about the quality of life, we're talking about access to public spaces. We're talking about the ability to move around and get to a job and to the doctor's appointment to school. If you start degrading the parks and you start degrading transportation, which we run a real risk of in the next term, you get directly at degrading the quality of life in Milwaukee County. We have to preserve it. We got to make it better.
You know, parks are parks and libraries. These are public goods.
Yeah.
And they're kind of a throwback to Milwaukee's sewer socialism, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
You know, getting things done for people community wide. And
yep.
I think they're really important things to lift up. And Milwaukee's got a great library system, got a great park system.
Yeah.
So I congratulate you on focusing there. You also talk about the need for radical reform of law enforcement.
Yeah.
Jack Ekblad, what do you mean by that?
Yeah. So, you know, right now, when we talk about the county board and we talk about law enforcement, we're really talking about the sheriff's department. And unfortunately, the sheriff's department has had some incidents and then also some deaths in the county jail. And frankly, the core issue of that from a public's perspective, quite apart from the morality of someone dying for not getting enough water,
which is outrageous,
yeah, is that it fundamentally erodes the trust that people have in law enforcement. And the job of the county board, its oversight powers, need to be used to help the sheriff's department rebuild that public trust. And frankly, there needs to be radical reform within the sheriff's department. It, you know, they have said that they're understaffed. The county board's actually addressed that. And now they're up to, according to Urban Milwaukee, 85-90%, I believe, of staffing levels. They got a significant raise, which was needed to compete with, you know, detention facilities in the rest of the state. Now we need to look at, through the audit that's going to go on, the fact that more people doing the exact same thing is not the answer here.
So what's the answer?
So the answer, right, is one, we need a public audit of the jail that comes back with serious policy solutions and policy changes that need to happen. We also need the sheriff, and these, you know, these issues predate her tenure, to own this journey of regaining the public trust. And we need someone in District 4 as a county supervisor who's willing to work with law enforcement according to the audit to help them through that process and hold them accountable.
Now, I see you just got the endorsement of the Democratic Party of Milwaukee, right? Am I correct?
Back in January, that's correct. Yeah.
And was that a hard get?
It's never easy, you know, especially for a first-time candidate. The first question whenever I walk into a room is, so, who are you?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been asking you, too.
Yeah.
Do you want to give me a little bit about your background?
Yeah, I mean, I would double down on the fact that I was first trained as an organizer in January of 2009, right after Obama was elected. And according to that same philosophy that he used, I went on to work political campaigns between rural Wisconsin, Green Bay, New York City, once again, in either deeply purple or deeply conservative areas. The parts in Queens I worked, Queens, New York, were parts that voted for Trump, to be perfectly honest. You know, the way that I've been an organizer since then has really been about working with organizations that serve the homeless and unhoused, organizations that serve immigrants. And it's only since I got back to Milwaukee that I really started to dig back into electoral politics, really with the election of Protasiewicz, Justice Protasiewicz, mm-hmm. and post-Dobbs. I mean, my wife was 7.5 months pregnant when Roe was overturned. If you want to talk about equity, if you want to talk about an inclusive society, you got to talk about women's health care, period.
I've been speaking with Jack Ekblad, who's running for Milwaukee County Board Supervisor from the 4th District. How could people reach you or your website?
They can reach me on my website, Jack, J-A-C-K, for Milwaukee, F-O-R-M-K-E.com. So that's Jack for M-K-E.com.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show with, once again, as we've had all week, someone who is not Maggie Dawn. I'll leave that a slight surprise till we get through this opening. Another surprise you could enjoy is winning yourself a trip to Chula Vista, a fantastic resort down in the Wisconsin Dells as well. You are entered to win a blender, a bike, and some patio furniture. Truly a party in a basket. If you would like to be entered to win, text us using the Civic Media app, the word SCORE, as in what you'll be saying after you win that trip to Chula Vista. SCORE, honey, we're going to the Dells. With that, I'm going to introduce you to our guest host for the day, Matt Rothschild. Matt, take it away, my friend.
Thanks, Anya, and thanks for all your help today. Yeah, Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across Wisconsin. I want to hear from you, the listener, if you're in your kitchen or in your office, or in your car parked somewhere, I hope. I want you to call 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, to give me your reaction to this movement in Wisconsin on the ballot to vote not for Joe Biden, if you're a Democrat, but to vote as an uninstructed delegation. That's the thing. I opened my absentee ballot today. I saw my choices as a Democrat were Joe Biden, Dean Phillips, or uninstructed delegation. And this was a hard one for me. I want to be frank with you because I know I'm going to end up voting for Joe Biden for president. The last thing in the world I want to see is Donald Trump win again. But I also have been totally repulsed, revolted, disgusted by the Israeli collective punishment on the people of Gaza. And this is a way for people in Wisconsin to register that disgust and to tell Joe Biden and the Biden administration to stop funding this Israeli aggression, this Israeli collective punishment, a genocide, if you want to call it that, on the people of Gaza. And so I looked at the ballot. I thought about voting for Biden because I know I'm going to vote for Biden and I'll probably put out a Biden sign at some point. But you know what? I voted for uninstructed delegation. And I want to know what your choice is going to be. If you're a Democrat or if you're a Republican and voted for Trump, give me a call and tell me why you're voting for Trump. The phone number is 855-752-4842. And I'm going to give you some background on this because there was a a letter, dear Wisconsinites, sent out on March 24th, headed by Senator Chris Larson, state senator from Milwaukee, and Representative Francesca Hong of Madison. 20 elected officials in Wisconsin have been urging Democrats, 20 Democrats urging Democratic citizens to vote uninstructed delegation, not for Joe Biden, but to protest Biden's support for this horrific violence that the Israeli military has been imposing on the people of Gaza. And I'm just going to read their letter. Dear Wisconsinites, as elected officials, we come together today in despair and concern for the soul of this nation. The ongoing siege in Gaza has been a betrayal of our shared humanity and an affront to our democratic way of life. We've collectively witnessed the massacre of over 31,000 Palestinians, with thousands more unaccounted for under rubble, and the deliberate mass starvation and forcible expulsion of over 2 million people, nearly half of which are kids. And while the individuals, global organizations, and governments around the world rise up together in grief and dismay to demand a permanent ceasefire, the most powerful government in the world, that's ours, refuses to act, losing step with the will of their people. Since we are elected officials, we know that now more than ever, we must serve as champions of democracy in its truest form. We have an undeniable responsibility to stand with the Palestinian people in loving solidarity and demand an end to military aid to Israel and ensure the taxpayers are no longer complicit in a genocide that is funded by our government. It is our duty, these elected officials in Wisconsin wrote, to lead with conviction and care for the dignity of all peoples. Therefore, we pledge to fill the bubble for uninstructed delegation on our ballots in the upcoming presidential primary election. Uninstructed shows our unwavering commitment to human rights, to dignity for all, and to democracy, a democracy by the people and for the people. On April 2nd, that's this coming Tuesday, please join us by voting uninstructed on our presidential primary ballots. I also invite my dear colleagues in local and state government who are guided by progressive values and a commitment to dignity, safety, and justice for all to join us in supporting this campaign. Together, we will make democracy once again represent the will of the people and begin to restore the soul of this nation for our collective futures. That's quite a statement. And I want to know what you feel as a Wisconsin voter about this option to vote on Tuesday for uninstructed or to vote with your absentee ballot, which I did this morning for uninstructed delegation as opposed to voting for Biden if you were a Democrat. The phone number to call is 855-752-4842. And I mentioned that there were 20 elected officials in Wisconsin. Here are their names. You deserve to know whether you agree with them or disagree with them. State Representative Francesca Hong, State Senator Chris Larson, State Representative Darren Madison of Milwaukee, Missy Zambor of the Milwaukee Board of School Director citywide, State Representative Christina Shelton, Ali Muldrow of the Madison Board of Education, Heidi Weigleitner, a Dane County Supervisor, Kirsten Hulseman, a Dane County Supervisor, Juliana Bennett, another supervisor on the Madison Common Council, I'm sorry. Jilly Gokalgandhi of the Milwaukee Board of Schools, Maya Pearson, Vice President of the Madison Board of Education, April Kigeya of the Dane County Board, Savion Castro, the Madison Board of Education, Marshall Rummel, an old friend of mine, Madison Common Council, Juan Miguel Martinez, Milwaukee County Supervisor, Nikki Conklin, Madison Common Council member, Joe Maldonado, Alder of the Fitchburg Common Council, Bill Jetzer, Alder, again, of the Fitchburg Common Council, Mushir Hassan, Elmbrook School Board, Waukesha County here, Jael Curry of the Madison Common Council, Nicole Vafadari of the school board clerk in Fitchburg, Gabriel Gerhardt, an Alder, Fitchburg Common Council, Sabrina Madison, Madison Common Council. These are the 20 elected officials, Democrats, who urged other Democrats to vote this coming Tuesday or by absentee ballot or by early voting, not for Joe Biden, but for uninstructed delegation as a nonviolent way to communicate their displeasure, their disgust with the Israeli assault on the people of Gaza that is funded by the U.S. government and that is armed by the U.S. government. I was listening to a UW historian who said something like the U.S. has sent 15,000 bombs to the government of Israel during this assault on Gaza. And I want to be clear. On October 7th, I was horrified, by what Hamas did, horrified by this unspeakable act of, yes, terrorism against innocent people in Israel. There is no excuse whatsoever for that repulsive attack, which was a war crime itself. But that war crime did not excuse the war crimes that we are seeing from the Netanyahu government. And the United States has got to stop military aid to the Netanyahu government, as Bernie Sanders himself has been saying, so long as this assault on Gaza continues. We need an immediate and permanent ceasefire. And so I'm just wondering whether you agree with me on this question of voting for uninstructed delegation or whether you're going to vote for Joe Biden anyway on your ballot on Tuesday. It's important for all of us to vote on Tuesday because there are important elections all around the state. There are important elections for school board. There's important elections for school bonding issues in more than 80 communities. There are important mayoral races in Milwaukee and Wausau and other places. But I think this question about whether now is the right time to register this kind of protest by not giving Joe Biden all the votes that he would otherwise probably get in a Democratic primary is an interesting one. And so I'm interested about how you feel about this. So give me a holler at 855-752-4842, and I'll let you know how I feel about it. And I'll listen to you to hear how you feel about it, because I think we should have this conversation. I'm also curious to hear what you have to say about Donald Trump's upcoming visit to Green Bay next Tuesday. And if you're going to protest that visit by Donald Trump, what protest sign you would bring to the Donald Trump event in Green Bay if you're going to a protest there. Be creative. Be clean. This is radio. Keep it clean, but I'd like to know how you'd feel about Donald Trump's visit and what you're going to do about that. But I'm really interested at this moment about this question of whether to vote for Joe Biden or whether to vote for uninstructed delegation on your ballot this Tuesday. I guess we've got a caller, and I'm happy to take the call. This is Ahmed from Milwaukee. Ahmed, what's on your mind on this?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad you called. What's your view here?
I have a problem with the stance you took. I'm a registered Democrat, but what's going on in the Middle East is not pure and simple as you put it. So I think I'm going to vote Biden because I do appreciate the fact, the stance that he's taken against terrorism, and I would not vote uninstructed.
Okay, well, what is a less pure and simple view of what's going on? Tell me how I simplified things wrongly.
I don't know if you're saying it's a point of view, of course. The way I see it is that you, first of all, mentioned 31,000 deaths. As if they were all civilians, just bystanders who happened to be there without any other option. I'm assuming from reports that more than two-thirds of them were actual fighters dressed as civilians.
Well, I don't believe that's true. What I've heard is that the majority were women and children.
So the problem with that is you can't prove that point, and I can't prove the flip side of it. That's the problem with terrorism who hide in plain sight between civilians. Where do you draw the line? Do you not protect your own people against terrorists, even if they're hiding inside hospitals? You have not mentioned... can I tell you my background, where I'm from?
Sure.
I'm a Christian who fled Lebanon. I mean, my family did when I was young. We fled Lebanon. We're a Christian family. But I am Arab in that sense, that I'm from that area. So by no means I'm justifying Israel. Of course, they attacked in Lebanon too. But Hezbollah has been doing the same thing in Lebanon. Now, if Israel would have come after Hezbollah, and it's a country, it's Lebanon, and they have a second military wing that's called Hezbollah. Same goes to Iran. They have the country, they have the army, but then they have the military guard or whatever it's called. I forgot the name. Palestine is the same thing. It's not a full country, but it has its PA, which is the Palestinian Authority, and then you make it sound like it's okay to have a military wing that's a terrorist group.
No, I did not ever say that, and I don't believe that. And I think what happened on October 7th was an outrageous war crime, and that Israel has a right to defend itself and a right to respond to that. But I don't think it has a right to respond with the grotesque kind of collective punishment, mass starvation, and 30,000, 32,000 people killed, and by all the accounts I see, the majority of those being women and children. So I think that's a disproportionate response, which is also against international law. But I'm gonna, you know, I appreciate your call. I appreciate your perspective, certainly. And I'm glad you are weighing in on the subject. And I respect you for that. And I'll be back to carry on this conversation right after the break. Child here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn, having a fun time doing it. I do love radio, and I much admire the Civic Media Radio Network and all the good that it's doing in the state of Wisconsin. Maggie is on vacation. She'll be back on Monday. Jim Santel, who does the most lucid legal analysis of anyone I've ever heard on crucial legal issues about our democracy, he's going to be subbing in here tomorrow. So make sure you tune in for that and tune in for the Devil's advocates after the 4 o'clock break. I do want to continue our conversation on this question as to whether the listener, whether you're going to vote for Joe Biden on your ballot on April 2nd, whether you're going to vote for Trump. If so, please let me know. I'd love to hear about that too. Or whether you're going to vote for uninstructed delegation, because there's this group in Wisconsin called Listen to Wisconsin. There's this group of 20 Wisconsin officials who are urging Democrats not to vote for Joe Biden in the primary, but to register their displeasure, disgust, moral revulsion at what the Israeli government, the Netanyahu government, has been doing to the people of Gaza by filling in the bubble under uninstructed delegation. And I want to know what you think about that. So please call at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Full disclosure, I filled in the bubble this morning for uninstructed delegation. And so we have on the line Karina from Milwaukee. I'd love to hear what you think about this, Karina.
Hi. Well, I have a question for you, and I tell you what I think. And honestly, it's painful to think what's going on in Israel, because any war is a pain for civilians. You pick up World War II. You know, when Russians were going over Berlin, there were enough civilians. But they were bombing everything because they were trying to get rid of the Nazis, right? For me, honestly, I think that the people should be able to protect themselves. But for what kind of cost we're talking about? By just and coming from Israel, coming from Jewish people, because Netanyahu represents Jewish people. And I don't think, and not just I don't think, I know it's wrong. I know the bringing the religion into the government is wrong. It's even wrong by Torah. It says don't do it. The fact that for so many thousands of years, Jewish people were exterminated everywhere in this world, and now we're doing it to others? How is it even right? And half of my family is Jewish. And I'm telling you right now, none of them, even the ones who actually live in Israel, support that. Because it's a bluff. It's a bloodbath.
Yes, no Karina, I get your point, and I agree with you. The only thing I disagree with you on is your statement that Netanyahu represents Jewish people, because Netanyahu represents the government of Israel, and he doesn't represent all Jewish people, or I hope he doesn't represent most Jewish people as a Jewish American myself. So I certainly wholeheartedly disagree with everything Netanyahu has been doing, and it sounds like you also agree with that. We've got a lot of other callers and a little bit of time, so I want to get to more, but thanks, Karina, for calling. We've got Troy from Mount Horeb. Troy, talk to me.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. What's your view of this?
I'm good. You know, taking away from the Palestinian and the Israeli thing, right now we're fighting for our own country and showing weakness in the face of the enemy. I'm against. And so I'm voting for Joe Biden now. I'm voting for Joe Biden later. And I don't think that now is the time for a protest vote.
Okay, Troy, I understand that view. I appreciate it. I hear it in my own household. So I get that. I appreciate the call. Lee is calling as well. Let's hear what Lee has to say on the subject.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Oh, okay. Lee from Yuba. I agree with your previous caller, and I appreciate what you're bringing forward. And I totally believe that those that want us to take our votes and waste them by not voting for Biden are mistaken.
Why?
Netanyahu is Israel's Trump, and he is due for a court date once he gets out of office. And I think that the Jewish people have been misrepresented by him. I think what he's done to the Palestinians is wrong. The Jewish have suffered for a lot of years. And what they're doing is imposing on others what was imposed upon them. And you'd think that they'd kind of have a heart and stop this. And I believe that many women and children have been a part of this. And I believe that we need to support Biden. He's in a bad place.
Well, I hear you, Lee, and I appreciate the call. I don't think this is a wasted vote, though, because it's a vote that is nonviolently expressing a very critical view of what Israel's been doing to the people of Gaza and what the Biden administration has been doing in support of that. It's not going to have an adverse effect on the ultimate outcome in November, like a vote for a third-party candidate in November would be. So I don't see the wasting argument, but I understand what you were saying about Netanyahu and actually agree with you on that part. We also have Jim calling in. So let's hear what Jim has to say.
Hi. I absolutely hate what the Netanyahu government is doing in the Gaza Strip, but I've never heard an answer to one question. What is Joe supposed to do? He put up a resolution in the UN for an immediate ceasefire. The Russians vetoed it. As far as I know, the new aid is still tied up in Congress. If Israel is receiving any aid, it's from a year ago.
Well, Jim, the Biden administration has been funneling as much armaments as possible to Israel ever since October 7th, and it hasn't halted at with one atrocity after another that's been committed here. So